Vanelli, first of all, and Wild Horses, and Belinda Carlisle with Runaway Horses. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Rob Kay from Blevins Franks is going to be joining us to talk about the B word. Yeah, banking. And probably a bit of Brexit as well. Lots of uncertainty surrounding UK bank accounts after Brexit. That's just a minefield, really, isn't it? It just seems to get worse and worse every day. And they haven't put that online portal for getting your carte séjour up yet, but it's supposed to be coming sometime in the middle of October.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Need to get it sorted out sooner rather than later, as Tracy Leonetti was telling us. You must put your paperwork together if you haven't started doing it already, because come the middle of next year, you will be required to have a residence permit. So get on with it. I know procrastination is my favourite word, but we have to do it. Trenton says, why do BBC announcers consistently say Los Angeles? It's Los Angeles. Ask anybody from LA. Well, we should just call it LA then. I don't think it's just BBC. So what about Arlo Guthrie coming in from Los Angeles, bringing in a couple
of
keys?
Los Angeles.
Don't touch my bags, if you please, Mr. Customs Man. We'll just call it LA.
OK.
Should we tell the BBC just to say LA?
Side.
Right. Now, what are your chances of being trampled to death by cows?
Well, on the port of Nice, I would hope. Yeah. Well, not very lightly.
Apart from maybe during the transhumance.
Oh, maybe, maybe.
In England last week, a deputy head teacher was killed by cows. The second dog walker to die after being fatally injured by cattle in Yorkshire this year. Dave Clark was attacked in fields near Richmond on Monday. In May, an 82-year-old man died from injuries he sustained while walking with his wife and dogs in the Yorkshire Dales. Now, members of the public are rarely killed by cattle, according to the UK Health and Safety Executive. It investigates incidents along with those that involve farmers and farm workers. Between 2015 and 16 and 2019 and 20, the HSE investigated 142 incidents. Only 22 of them resulted in a death. That's 22 too many. And the majority related to people who worked with cattle. Members of the public accounted for only 4 of those deaths. It added it investigated 65 non-fatal incidents involving cattle and members of the public over the same period. Now, you may think they're pretty docile cows, but they can turn nasty.
Well, they can. They can walk upstairs, but they can't walk back down again. It's true.
How should you keep safe if you are walking in the countryside? I suppose that applies to this part of the world as well. Now, the best advice is to keep your dog on a lead when near any type of livestock. The National Farmers Union suggested walkers keep themselves safe by following the countryside code. It said cattle could become aggressive if they felt threatened, particularly when they had calves with them, and particularly if a dog got between them and a calf. If walking with a dog, the code recommends keeping dogs on the lead and under close control around farm animals and horses, but to release them if threatened or chased by livestock. So look out for animals and watch how they're behaving, particularly bulls or cows. With calves, a bull should always be given a wide berth at the best of times. Try to avoid guessing between cows and their calves. Be prepared for cattle to react to your presence, especially if you have a dog with you. Move quickly and quietly, and if possible, walk around the herd. Keep your dog close on a short lead and under effective control. Remember to close gates behind you when walking through fields containing livestock. Don't hang on to your dog if you're threatened by cattle. Let it go, as the cattle will chase the dog and not you. And the dog will probably get away with it. Don't put yourself at risk by walking close to cattle. Don't panic or run. Most cattle will stop before they reach you. If they follow, just walk on quietly.
Yeah. Good word of advice. And they have regional accents. You see, I think it comes from depending on the farmer that's with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on then.
What's Shaking Stevens' real name?
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not that much of a fan. You must be more of a fan than I am. I don't know, John.
John.
John. Jeff.
Jeff. Morning, Jeff.
Peter.
No, Michael Barrett.
Michael Barrett, I knew that.
Who used to present Nationwide on the BBC back in the 1970s.
Who Michael Barrett did.
Michael Barrett.
Or Shaking Stevens.
Shaking Stevens. No, Michael Barrett.
So why did you give Shaking Stevens such a hard time?
Oh, I think it was a running joke in the 80s,
wasn't
it?
Oh, come on, it was not
a
running joke.
Well, he might have a big hit with the girls, but it wasn't the kind of, you know, stuff we liked.
Oh,
yeah. We were into the psychedelic furs and the death metal heads and stuff. You know, so.
Yeah, all right. Well, each to their own, each to their own. Today's quiz, question number one, it's his birthday today. He was born on this day in 1968. What can I ask, can I tell you? He had a UK number one in 1993. He's American, singer, and,
Shaking Stevens.
No.
It's not much to go on, though.
Okay.
Born in 1968, and he had a... Well, tell me what the...
Actor, singer, What's yeah, but if the I tell you, I don't I think 1993 was when he had the number one. He was born in 68.
Yes. It could be anybody, couldn't it?
Well, it could be. I've forgotten how I was going to ask this
how
question.
How am I supposed to go on that?
Okay, if I say Jazzy Jeff?
Will Smith.
Correct. There you go. That was a bit of a rubbish question. I'm sorry, I haven't prepared for that one. Question number two. It's not her birthday, but she was on at number one in 1968. She's a Welsh singer. Number one in the UK in 1968.
Mary
yes. Yes, yes, yes. And which talent show did she appear on? She got a signed deal.
Opportunity
with,
Knocks.
Yes,
with
which
Huey
led
Green.
To her getting a signed deal with Apple. Mm-hmm. And finally, these lyrics are to which song? To do with your quit, to do with your Feel Good Friday theme.
What's the matter with you this morning?
I don't know. I've just had a text that's thrown me a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm not going to go. Maybe later.
Oh.
When this old world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, Mr. Harrison, I climb way up to the roof of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space.
The Drifters. Up on the roof.
Well done. Who else sang it?
Supremes.
Well, no. I don't know. Maybe. Kenny Lynch.
Oh, Kenny Lynch.
Yeah. Well done. You did better than me in today's
pop
quiz.
Didn't do it with Shaking Stevens once, Kenny Lynch.
Leave Shaking Stevens alone.
All right, sorry. Right, so it's 8:23, new sports and weather coming. I've got Hank Potts by Hook or by Crook. Don't know if it's going to be on the Clear Eyes, Dear Line. Or
we were talking about Hank last night.
Were you?
We were looking him up. People wanted to know what he looks like.
Yeah.
Didn't think he looked like that, they said.
Well, that's always the way, isn't it? You never
imagine.
Very imagined...
good looking. I think he's very good looking.
There you are. I'll tell him that. But you never imagine the way somebody sounds to the way they look.
This is true.
Yeah. Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning, Mr. Potts.
Good morning.
How are we today?
I'm good, actually. It was pretty miserable weather weekend-wise, but it was okay. I went to the Indian restaurant on a Friday night, unceremoniously kicked out at 10 to 10. I mean, with the curfew coming into place, the bills in front of you, just as I was finding my stride with the Pinot Noir, but, you know, we all have to do our bit during this time of uncertainty.
Well, surely 10 to 10 is a civilised time of day to be ending dinner, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. There was sort of... I mean, I'm not normally out these days at all, but let alone at that time. But I did get the impression the younger folk were sort of out on the street deciding what to do next as opposed to going home. So one suspects it may not have the desired effect the government's been hoping for.
Well, apparently there were queues forming outside off-licences after the pub closed, because I don't know that they haven't introduced the same closing time for the off-licences, have they?
There's a little bit of a discrepancy there. I understand there was a huge party sort of in Trafalgar Square as people rolled out of London pubs and into the local Sainsbury's to top up and keep the party going. So I think as we find our way through this, as we have been, there will be some changes and some refinements of the rules.
Another U-turn, you mean?
Potentially.
OK, Mark, it's not a great week last week, but Wall Street was up on Friday.
Yeah, shares rose on Friday. However, the S&P 500 notched up a fourth straight weekly decline as the sell-off that started in the overheated tech sector has spread to cyclical stocks. Particularly the miners and the banks whose fortunes are linked to the performance of the economy have been under pressure. Why the weakness? Well, I guess against the backdrop of elevated valuations, investors have left very little room for disappointment. However, we've been talking about virus numbers have been surging, new restrictions are being imposed. US presidential election still too close to call, but there is that real risk of a contested election, perhaps the worst case scenario for many investors, and few signs that the political impasse over the next US stimulus package will be resolved anytime soon, particularly as Congress turns its attention to filling the Supreme Court vacancy. With the rise in COVID-19 cases, we have seen money flow back into the so-called stay-at-home trades at the end of last week. Zoom shares jumped, Peloton, Amazon both rallied. In terms of weekly performance, S&P 500 was down 0.6%. Not too bad, but if you look for September, it was down 5.8%, now 8% below the high that we saw on the 2nd of September. European equities deep in the red as well, in fact, posting their worst weekly decline since mid-June. Stock 600 was off 3.6% last week. The Stock 600 Bank Index fell for a seventh straight day on Friday, back closing its lowest level since its creation in 1991. Good news is we are looking at bounce on the European bourses this morning. Look at the opening calls. Got the FTSE up 64 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 165 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 61 points.
Yes, and that bombshell news dropping from the New York Times overnight as well about President Trump's tax returns or lack of them, but he says he hasn't done anything wrong. But that may well give Joe Biden some ammunition in that first presidential debate tomorrow night.
Well, we'll have to wait to see, of course, how it all plays out. And no doubt it's going to be somewhat of a volatile election season. So I think investors are getting ready for that. They're bracing themselves for that. Diversification, hedging, incredibly important against that backdrop.
Yeah, well, normally the markets don't really bat an eyelid when there's an election because it's usually a fairly smooth transition between Democrats and Republicans. But this is a really big one, and markets don't like uncertainty. So do you think the presidential election could result in some volatility on the markets over the next few weeks?
Inevitably so, depending, of course, where the polls tell us and the movements that we see taking place in terms of some of those key swing states. And that's the really important element to watch out for. But the polls have been wrong in the past. People have written off Donald Trump in the past to their peril. So I think we're probably still too early to do that. And there's a lot of posturing that goes on during the course of a campaign. The reality as the votes come in can sometimes be very different. So we will have to watch out how it plays out. As I say, investors are starting to position themselves for that uncertainty around a contested election.
Well, unless it's an absolute landslide for Biden, then it's going to end up in the courts, isn't it?
I'm trying not to be too political.
Well,
I'm just
being objective, really.
Yeah. Well, inevitably, I think there is a risk of that, as we've been talking about. And you see, in terms of the way in which the positioning from both parties have been coming through in terms of filing already court orders and talking about mismanagement, and the mailing of ballots, of course, will be an important component of the way in which this year's election is decided. And of course, there is some discussions about how true and fair that process is likely to be.
Talking about uncertainty, a crescendo is going to be reached in the Brexit talks this week. We've heard that before, but, everyone's calling for a deal. Some signs maybe there's a bit of convergence towards an outcome, but it's still very much up in the air.
If you look at markets, perhaps as a way of understanding, do they believe a deal is going to happen? Well, if you look at sterling, it has been marginally weaker over the course of the past couple of weeks as the risk of a no-deal Brexit has been rising, but certainly not pricing in perhaps the concept that we will indeed fall to that no-deal Brexit scenario playing out. So I think markets still believe that there is a chance of a deal to come through, perhaps believing that's the most likely chance, albeit a very thin trade deal, one that focuses on goods. But one, I suppose, that could be built on over time as well. As you say, has been billed this week as a crucial week for the Brexit negotiations. Been reported the European Union has told the UK negotiators they must accept some of the bloc's key demands over the future relationship in the meeting if they want to make progress before the October deadline. Two sides are meeting for a final round of formal discussions in Brussels, where they'll try to establish a basis for working on the text of a deal. The EU, of course, wants the UK to make commitments in key areas such as state aid, environmental standards, and taxation as a condition for moving on to a more intense phase of negotiations, in which a core group will try to thrash out the wording of any agreement. Discussions, as we know so far, produced very little progress on a range of issues, including ensuring companies from both sides can compete on a level playing field, how to resolve any dispute in a binding way, and cooperation on law enforcement. But I think unless both sides make at least some progress in resolving their differences, the risk that Britain leaves the European Union single market, the customs union, at the end of this year without a trade deal will start to rise. The markets will be reacting to that. That outcome, as we know, would spell disruption, additional costs for businesses and consumers, and heap more damage on an economy that's already reeling from the coronavirus.
And what about passporting? Is that still in the game, or is that just out of the window now?
Well, passporting is a key element to it, particularly when it comes to the service sector, particularly, of course, when it comes to financial institutions. One suspects that that is one area that they'll struggle to make real progress on before that October deadline. It may come later than that. I suppose we should also remember that many organisations have already put in progress contingency plans or set up new structures that allow them to continue to service many clients in Europe, despite the fact that passporting may be under pressure. But if you look at the legal services firms, if you look at the accountants, if you look at the banks, clearly that's one area they will be focusing on.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.27 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.16. You're going to get €1.09 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Cafe and restaurant owners in the Alpes Maritimes are to meet with the prefect today ahead of the possible closure of establishments at 10 p.m. due to COVID-19. Several meetings were held on Sunday as the measure announced by the government last Wednesday is expected to come into force from today. The restriction would affect the 1,300 bars and restaurants between Cannes and Nice and 17,000 employees. Meanwhile, on Saturday, bar and restaurant owners in Marseille demonstrated outside the city's commercial courthouse against forced closures which were introduced on Sunday. A new poll has shown that a majority of people in France are overwhelmingly in favour of a new nationwide lockdown. The opinion poll published in the Journal de Dimanche reveals the public's anxiety towards COVID-19 remains high, with 72% in favour of a new lockdown. About 14,500 new cases of COVID-19 were reported in the past 24 hours on Sunday, with health officials warning that the situation is worsening and medical staff declaring they do not want to have to choose which patients they care for as the number of admissions increase. Over the last 7 days, 4,102 people have been hospitalised, 763 of whom are being treated in intensive care. One of France's top medical figures, Patrick Bouet, head of the National Council of the Order of Doctors, warned on Sunday that the second wave is arriving faster than we thought and that there would be no medical staff available to provide reinforcements and France's health system would be unable to meet all the demands. And during a press conference at the weekend, France's Minister of Health, Olivier Véran, dismissed the idea of a preventative national return to lockdown ahead of the festive season. Five new cases of COVID-19 have been declared in the Principality and one 91-year-old coronavirus patient has died at the Princess Grace Hospital. To date, in Monaco, 210 residents have been affected by COVID-19 and two people have died. Nine patients are currently hospitalised, including five residents, and 30 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. In other news, a fire has destroyed three restaurants in Saint-Laurent-du-Var. The blaze broke out in the early hours of this morning on the Promenade des Fleurs Bleues. Firefighters have reportedly contained the blaze and an investigation has been launched to determine the cause. As mushroom season begins, the Regional Health Authority has warned people to be careful when picking mushrooms. Thousands of people are poisoned every year in France by mushrooms. Mushroom pickers are advised to collect mushrooms that they know perfectly well, to not pick mushrooms near potentially polluted sites, and to not consume mushrooms identified through a smartphone mushroom recognition application due to the high risk of error. In national news, seven people have been detained in connection with an attack outside the former offices of the magazine Charlie Hebdo in Paris. An armed man wounded two people in the attack on Friday. The main suspect, identified as an 18-year-old, was arrested near the scene. Police said six others were in custody and being questioned. The attack is being treated as a terrorist incident. Finally, Paris is to put up a statue of a black woman involved in an 1802 rebellion against slavery on the French Caribbean island of Guadeloupe. The woman, named only Solitude, was captured and possibly executed. Opening a public garden in her honour on Saturday, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo called Solitude a heroine and a strong symbol. France's history of slavery has been under new scrutiny, in part because of the US Black Lives Matter protests.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, four games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. A Jamie Vardy hat-trick saw Leicester City win 5-2 away at Manchester City. That's three wins out of three for Leicester this season, and they're top of the table on goal difference. Vardy says they got their tactics spot on for the victory at the Etihad Stadium.
We won the ball back, yeah, we were deep, but I mean, you see how quickly we get forward. and speed a lot of the time causes defence problems. So to get into them positions from winning the ball back and obviously putting the ball in the back of the net, it's a brilliant feeling.
A controversial penalty late on saw Newcastle United draw 1-1 at Tottenham Hotspur. The pitchside monitor was brought in to assist the referee and Callum Wilson scored the equaliser. Newcastle manager Steve Bruce admits his side were fortunate, but he still wants the handball rule to be looked at.
We've got away with one today. I would be absolutely livid if it was against us, you know, but we maybe have to look at the rules because it's ruining the spectacle. People enjoy watching all around the world. If we're not careful, we'll spoil it.
Patrick Bamford's header, 2 minutes from time, earned Leeds United a 1-0 victory over Sheffield United, who are still searching for their first points of the campaign. Now, Bamford helped Leeds grab promotion last season, but faced doubts that he could score in the Premier League.
I put more pressure on myself than anyone. People closest to me will tell you that I'm quite critical of myself. So for me, it was proving a point to myself. I knew that in my head I was good enough to play at this level, and I've just got to keep proving it to myself, and then people are going to say what they want to say no matter what you do. So for me, it's always trying to beat your own kind of limits that you set.
And striker Jared Bowen scored twice for West Ham, who registered their first league win of the season, 4-0 at home to Wolves. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So what's on track then?
Maybe I gave them the kiss of death.
Two games tonight, Fulham against Aston Villa and Liverpool against Arsenal.
Oh, hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Let's go. I would like Aston Villa to win.
Late night for you tonight?
No.
In the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Motherwell were thrashed 5-1 at home by Rangers. Celtic beat Hibs 3-0 and Ross County lost 3-0 at home to Aberdeen. In the English Championship, Bristol City beat Sheffield Wednesday 2-0 and Bournemouth were 1-0 winners over Norwich. Tennis, it was a grim opening day for British players of the French Open with Andy Murray, Dan Evans and Johanna Konta all out. Murray never got out of first gear and lost in straight sets to Stan Wawrinka, while Evans was beaten in five sets by Kai Nishikori. Konta admitted she hadn't played well as she was beaten 6-3, 6-3 by Coco Gauff.
Stan the man.
Formula One, Valtteri Bottas won the Russian Grand Prix on Sunday, ahead of Max Verstappen in the Red Bull and Lewis Hamilton, who was hit by a 10-second penalty for doing two illegal practice starts.
Didn't he stall, Lewis? I thought at one point he stalled.
Illegal practicing.
Oh, was that what it was? OK.
The penalty was later rescinded by the stewards and Mercedes were fined €25,000 instead, on the basis the team gave an instruction not to do the offending practice starts in the designated area. Make of that what you will. Bottas has closed the gap on Hamilton at the top of the Drivers' Championship to 44 points. Plenty of races still to go in the season. The next race is on the 11th of October at the Nürburgring.
Well, congratulations to Bottas.
Well done, Valtteri, yeah. MotoGP local star Fabio Quartararo has won the Catalonia Grand Prix to regain the championship lead from Andrea Dovizioso. Now, the 21-year-old Yamaha SRT rider, who's from Nice, dominated the eighth race of the season after Dovizioso fell on the first lap. He's 8 points clear of Juan Mir of Spain at the top of the championship. Another local star.
Yes.
Apart from you, of course. And in cycling, Julian Alaphilippe has won the Men's Road World Championships in Imola thanks to a stunning breakaway attack. The Frenchman joins many top names in the sport in claiming the rainbow jersey in the 258.2-kilometre one-day race. He beat a chasing group of riders by 28 seconds to claim the win. Allez, Alaphilippe.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea in the VAR. The general situation is a depression 1,004 millibars over the region. Winds are northwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,004 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse 1,004 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Partially cloudy, moderate southwesterly winds today, top temperature 21 degrees. Overnight lows 14 degrees on the coast, 12 degrees inland with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday mainly fine, highs of 21 to 22 degrees. Might have to get the leather jacket out at this rate.
You might just have to do that. I'm just in a bit of shock here, just before I do the and finally. Apparently, bars inside at the Palace of Westminster are exempt from the government's curfew.
Oh, really? What a surprise.
Because it's considered a workplace canteen. So there you go. You can all go down and have a pint down there.
And you can't have a children's birthday party, but you can go grouse juicing.
Well, there you go.
So that sets all the rights, doesn't it, really?
Well, one thing, finally, they won't be talking about over the bar is sex, because apparently more than 52% of people in Britain avoid discussing their sex life, according to a recent study. Brits are often thought to be quite reserved, and new research has compared the nation to more broad-minded countries in neighbouring Europe and confirmed the theory is true. A study of 24,000 people from 12 European countries found that those who live in Britain are most reluctant to talk about sex with either their partner or friends.
Maybe they haven't got anything to talk about.
Meanwhile, a surprising 52% confess that they never discuss what goes on in the bedroom. So which was the country with people who are least shy about discussing their sex lives with others?
France.
Spain.
Oh, Spain, really? Okay. Are you up to date?
In more way than one.
The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.